Ladies and gentlemen of the worldwide ultra running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
But I know it's on the upper edge, and you guys have won a couple of awards. And
whoa!
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah,
I'm recording.
Hey, you guys, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say we're going to keep – we started doing this a couple months ago where we do some bonus miles where you can let your guard down a little bit more because only two people listen to the bonus miles.
So yeah, one of your hosts and some downloader somewhere. One of us is not listening at this point.
You guys rotate every other week. Who gets to listen to it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, just – It really depends on which minute we're right. in. So we fade in and out, and we just hopefully we coordinate. Hey, during these bonus miles, you know, a couple of questions that they were just waiting to be asked. As we go through the podcast and questions come up, we always have pen and paper close by because you have to write down your question or you'll lose it. And so I wrote down a couple, and then Scott announces, hey, we're at the end of the podcast. I'm like, I've got these questions. I wrote down my best and saved them for the end so I could have a real zinger at the end, and then he closed the doors on me. So I want to ask, who is your mentor? As you look out, there's been some strong and great runners, and we try to pattern some of our decisions and our training and races we select from certain members. Do either one of you have a mentor close at hand that you can reference who might be your mentor? Either Pam or Adam. First one to speak really gets to answer first.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
Mine was a guy who he was his name was Benny Linkart. He was 60 years old. At when I met him, and he was my husband's a CPA, and he was my husband's client, and he was running Leadville, and I'll never forget that. I mean, because it was like, so I was 28 years old, and he was doing Leadville, and my husband's like, yeah, this guy's running 100 miles. I said, who runs 100 miles? That's ridiculous, you know. So that's he. He took me out and we lived in Tucson, and it's, he took me out on a trail called Bear Canyon, 17 mile loop out of Sabino Canyon. And I don't know, that's a famous thing in Tucson. A lot of people go up into Sabino Canyon and kind of goes up Mount Lemmon a little and comes around. And, but what he taught me, which is funny because he kind of taught me, but I don't listen. And this is why I don't have a coach or ever had a coach. Is he said, you got to walk the uphills. So he walked up the uphills and I would do my little jog up the up, you know, I would jog next to him while he walked. But he was how I started. And then I would, you know, he got me into a lot of different things. And one year he got to, he paced me at Badwater. And actually was... Mm. The second year he came and paced, and because I thought I was going to blow everybody away. And from the get-go, you know, I was not winning. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to take first woman because I had beaten everybody by so much that first year. But it, you know, luckily Dean died and the other guy died. So they handed it to me. So that's how I won the second year. But it was him. Yeah, he was amazing.
Wait, they didn't literally die. You mean they they fell out. Okay. No, I want to make some clarifications here.
Dean was throwing up like on the second climb or something. And then the guy, Chris, his name was, 100 miles. I got to him and it was scary. I shook his hand. And he was boiling. And I told my crew, you know, you guys have to help him. Well, he went down, like he sat in his van for 6 hours and he finished. And then Dean caught up and he was only 20 minutes behind me. So from mile, like 13 miles to go, even maybe more than that, 16 miles to go, the race director, Chris, well, I can't, Kosman, came up to me and goes, you know, Dean's only 20 minutes behind. And I pushed so hard, and I always thought of, I like to be way ahead of people, you know, like I don't like to have to do that pushing thing. That was the hardest thing I've ever done, but yeah, so that was that. But so they didn't really die.
Before Adam answers, you mentioned a few times that you lived a long time in Tucson.
Yeah.
I've been to Tucson. I used to work for a company that's based in Tucson. I know what Tucson's like. It's not fun weather.
No.
I mean, it's hot. It's dry. Why or how did you make this transition from living in Tucson to Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
Yeah, well, because I grew up, I'm Finnish. I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So I lived there for 18 years. I hated it. It was like I would complain. I would cry. My dad would make me go skiing. And then I lived in Tucson. It's like, woohoo. And then my my second husband, so we got married when our kids were really young, fell in love with Wyoming. So we would go back and forth from Wyoming. So for about 15 years, we've lived full time here, and it is cold. I mean, this winter has been like negative, 10, 12, almost every morning. So yeah, it's tough. But now I get to go to Arizona every once in a while, but we go to Scottsdale now.
Hey, when you were telling your story about Badwater, Dean Karnazes?
Yes, that's Dean Karnazes. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Adam, your mentor.
Yeah, so before I get to that, a couple of quick things. One, I just want to point out that Pam, you're originally from the UP, Pam, is that right? Okay, so I'm from Central Illinois, so I just like to point out that I think the Midwest folks are able to deal with cold just because, like when I was growing up, we had some things called the polar vortex happening in Chicago where we were getting regular like negative 20, negative 30 degree days. So anyway, just wanted to point that out. I also wanted to point out, as a motivational speaker, at a lot of my speaking engagements, people will say, I can't even imagine driving, as far as you're running and things like that. And I always tell them, hey, like 7-8 years ago, I couldn't either. And we have here on this podcast, Pam Reed saying that she once thought that 100 miles was insane, that she's about to do her 100th race right now. So just a good reminder of, you got to start somewhere to get to this point, right? So Don, onto the mentor. I'm going to kind of cheat here and name two people. My mentor, the first one I'm going to name, you guys probably know who he is, Peter Fain, here in Tahoe. When I first moved out to Tahoe in the end of 2016, I had been running professionally for about a year, but was from the Midwest and hadn't done a lot of training in the mountains, especially like snowy training in the mountains. And Peter really showed me the ropes. He helped coach me. He showed me the area and really, I feel like, formed me into the mountain runner that I am today. And then the second person, it was more on a lifestyle basis that they were a mentor. But Dave McGillivray, he's the Boston Marathon race director. I got to know Dave in 2016 when I ran across the U.S. Dave has run across the U.S. twice, actually. And he reached out to me when that happened, and we've maintained a relationship ever since. But what the way in which he's mentored me is, I've always admired the way he's built his life around running. So he's the Boston Marathon race director, but he himself is an ultra runner. And he has a race company where he puts on races, and everything he does is around that one passion. And that's how I've developed my life as well, with my passion for ultra running. And so I really admired that he was able to make a life out of running, and I always wanted to do the same. And so he mentored me in that way, and I've tried to emulate the things that he's done to get to the point that I'm at.
Boy, those are great,
nice answers. And then my second question is kryptonite. Even Superman, and I believe you both have capes, both Pam and Adam, and like Superman, he has found and knew his kryptonite that he feared and wanted to try to avoid. What's your kryptonite, Pam?
Oh my gosh, you're going to ask, what do I try to avoid?
Well, what do you think, what do you try to steer yourself away from? What trap do you find yourself falling in, or you work hard to avoid, whether you start too fast, whether it's just negative chatter in your head, just as a couple of examples? What's your kryptonite? And if you'd like to call a friend and pass the answer over to Adam, who may have his kryptonite ready,
I'm gonna call a friend.
Okay, Adam.
That's perfect, Pam. Because I had my answer immediately. My kryptonite, and something I've been working on, especially over the last couple of years, is overtraining and racing too much. I love, and I know I'm speaking to Pam Reed here, so that it's gonna sound absurd to her, but for me personally, to compete and perform at the level that I want to compete and perform at, I can't run as many races as I want to run. And back in kind of 2018 into 2019, I was just racing for me all the time. And it was great because I love race day and I love that, but I was just doing too much. And then eventually it caught up to me, and resulted in some injuries that I had to deal with and sort of set me back a bit. So, it's tempering my love of racing and recognizing it's going to be there, for a long time if I do things the right way. And so recognizing that, understanding that, and holding myself back a bit, when it comes to racing and training for those races.
That reminds me of the, what is the question when you go into a job interview, they say, what's your biggest weakness? I work too hard.
Chocolate. What's your biggest weakness? Chocolate.
What about you, Pam? Maybe you don't have a weakness.
You know what? Mine is negative talk.
Really?
I have a lot of, you know, I fight a lot of negative talk in when I'm like out there. And I keep having to pull it in and just say how blessed I am. I mean, I am so blessed. My life, like I have a life of, it's ridiculous. Cause I put on some events, but otherwise I get to run. I run, bike, swim every day. I ski here. I cross country ski. I don't downhill, but, so I just have the life, like every day I get to do 4 to 5 hours of exercise and have fun. And, so I have a great life, but I do, I have this negative, thought process that pops in, and, I got to fight that at all times. And so I'm getting better at it, but, as Adam said, I have a tendency to do a ton, but since it's kind of interesting, my mother passed away, I don't know, 5 years ago. And when she passed away, all of a sudden in my head, I'm like, I've got to do as much as I can. I don't have much left. I don't have much time left. And, you know, I'm going to be in February, I'm going to be 60 years old. And I look at some of my top people that I know who are 70. There's a guy here in Jackson, 75, did 2 Ironman back to back, Florida and Cozumel in 2020. And so those are my goals. Like I've done a lot, like 58 Ironmans this coming year because they were all canceled last year. So yeah, I tend to put lots of things on my list, but so as long as I can, I got to keep doing it. Cause when I can't, it's going to be over.
I just want to follow up what Pam said about the mental going, you know, having the negative thoughts and things. I think, you know, I consider myself somebody who's been blessed with and has worked hard at developing my mental strength. But if you, no matter who you're talking about, whether it's the strongest person mentally in the world or not, in 100 mile races or less than that, a lot of times you're going to encounter a lot of that negative self-talk. It's just part of it. When you're doing something this hard, it's inevitable. And I think it's all about recognizing that it's going to happen and then dealing with it, as opposed to trying to make it not happen or think you're going to get through unscathed, you know? So I think that's a great point. You know, even the most tested of people, in my mind, have to have these thoughts, and it's just a matter of working through them instead of giving into them.
And you can spiral out of control too. If you're thinking you have this expectation that I'm going to be mind over matter, I'm not going to have that negative chatter. And when it enters, then you start beating yourself up that saying, I should be tougher than this. I shouldn't be having this negative chatter. Whereas, you know, I can imagine, you know, 99, 100 mile races, and you still know that, hey, this race that I'm signed up to for, I'm going to have some negative chatter. I'm going to deal with it. I know that I'm going to have it. I'm going to deal with it.
Exactly. And, you know, for sure, for all the people, the two people that are listening to this part right now, is that it absolutely is going to happen. You know it's going to happen. And when it happens, you beforehand just know it's going to happen. So then you can be prepared.
And I think we sign up for races and look for events where we can talk with that negative chatter. We're curious to visit that negative chatter and will either run harder, run longer, run faster, do altitude, look for extremes so that chatter conversation can happen because it intrigues us and it's something we like to try to avoid, interact with, back off, and try to control it. And I think that's the fun part about our sport. My final question, in a Twitter type fashion, just 140 characters, you don't have to count them, but just a sentence or two if it's a run-on sentence. why do you love running so much? These years, these struggles. What, Adam, I'm going to start with you. You're shaking your head, which means your thought's probably ready, and Pam can prepare hers. Why do you like running so much?
I love running so much because it's taught me who I am. I often think to myself, whether it's running or something else, you know, the Wheel, the Discovery Channel show did this to me as well. But I think there's a lot of people in the world that maybe don't really know what they're like and how they deal with adversity because they haven't put themselves in an opportunity to understand that. And so I love it because it's made me a better person and it's taught me how I deal with the toughest of circumstances.
Beautiful answer. And Pam, if that's your answer too, you can just say me too. But why do you love running so much?
It's, you know, I try to tell people that running is, people ask me about training. Like, I don't train. Running is part of my life. It's part of really who I am because, I mean, it's just, I do it. And I saw a tweet today from Camille Heron and she said, oh, last month I ran 500 miles and I was going to take a day off, but I think I'm going to see if I can run every day. And even if it's a mile a day or whatever. And I don't do that. I don't have to run every day, but I do it because it's like brushing your teeth. That's just what I do. And I would love to be able to give what I get out of it to everybody. Cause it's not such a big deal. Some days it's not easy. Of course. But most of the time it's amazing. And I have to say, I'm going to be 60 years old and running now. When I was in my 40s, excuse me, I don't know what it is. But in my 40s, I was in pain all the time. And now running is it's easier. I don't know why, but I'm blessed. I get to do modalities. We can't forget about that. Like, especially somebody at my age, like I get to get massages. I do acupuncture. I do hot, I have a sauna, a jacuzzi. I do all of those things to keep me moving, but it's a joy. Mentally it's so good. Cause I struggle with, I've struggled with depression and it helps. It totally helps me.
Well, I know one thing, the dog is barking because the dog has never seen you stand in one spot so long. So we apologize.
Something's wrong.
The dog barking is our fault. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for the bonus mile, Scott. If you had an extra question, if you had an extra thought, I don't want to close without opening the mic certainly to you.
Well, I was just going to say we are lucky. All of us are lucky that we can get out and do something as enjoyable and educational as running. So I think that regardless of how far you can run, how many races you've run, it's a blessing to be out there at all.
Well said, Scott.
So thank you.